presentation is on the problems of a health plan, having statisticians do work within a health plan. How are health plans staffed? About 70% of the patients in the United States are covered in the type of health plan I'm in that surveys itself using the NCQA CAHPS survey. And so the curiosity I had is why are we, how are we staffed? And health plans, from one point of view, don't need statisticians because a lot of the work is pro forma. A health plan boils down to two things. It's a list of doctors and a list of members, and you put the two together. So maybe the normal health plan doesn't need a statistician, but I think that to operate well, it does. So the issue isn't its basic operation. It's how to do well. The problem with having a cute title, Old Mother Hubbard, and to give her poor doggy a bone, wanted to ensure the cupboard's not bare. Now I'm stuck with that metaphor through the rest of the presentation. I apologize for that. The learning objectives. I have quite a few slides, and I'm going to cover just high points, so I hope you'll pay more attention to the wording than to what's on the slide. This is the health plan I work in. It's out of Los Angeles County. It's quite large. Large provider network, many different ethnicities in the membership, and so forth. The methodology that I use to find out how other health plans are organizing their statisticians, are organizing their work analytically for quality improvement, was to do an interview of other health plans. This is a small sample pilot. The health plans that I sought were mostly Medicaid, like the plan that I'm in, to find out how they are staffed, because the assumption is the resources are much lower in those plans. And tossed in a couple of commercial firms and a Medicare firm to get perspective in this sample. I drew from diverse settings, California, Florida, Illinois, Massachusetts, New York, Rhode Island, Utah, Texas, and Washington State. The purpose of the survey was to figure out how do plans go about staffing themselves? How do they justify adding analysts to do the work? Because the analysts are deadweight loss. And if I were an administrator, I'd be hard-pressed to decide, do I want to pay for another nurse or do I want to pay for a statistician? What's the value, the way of showing value? And how are they organized in high-performing plans? So throughout, I'll use a bit of a comparison to higher-performing plans. The goal was to learn how other plans had organized. The survey that I put together has 48 questions, and these are the general topics. I will give a summary of each of the items on the survey in hopes that some part of this may interest you, or if you work with a health plan at all, that I can get ideas from anyone at the conference. So the first, I'll start up with demographics, which of course came from the end of the survey. Average age of the firms in the sample is 27 years. So these were mature organizations, would have had plenty of time to put together kind of an analytic style and an analytic staff. Average employment was about 2,600 employees. The hope I had was to calculate an approximate ratio as to how high-performing plans worked, how many analytic staff did they have. The average size of the non-commercial plans in the sample was 593,000. So these are fairly large plans in contrast to, say, Medicare plans, which often are smaller. The product lines, largely Medicaid, that was my selection, but a scattering of others. Some were mixed. They do commercial and Medicaid. Average years since the respondents ended their formal education, so this is to give background on what kind of skill did they have to respond to these questions. And so it's 16 years since they left their training. They've been employed full-time in some kind of analytic work, about 12 years. Average years employed, 20 years. So they obviously had taken their stat training a little after beginning their careers. Often these were nurses who took nursing and then tried to build in more credential, and part of that included statistical training in some form. Average years in current jobs, so 6 years. They were experienced enough to know their organization and to know the analytics within the department they were in. This was often a department head that would be answering the survey. Percent female, 72%. And I assume that's due to fact that many of these were nurses. I was generally looking for the quality improvement department. The average age is about 49 years, which struck me as interesting. These are not newly minted statisticians coming out of college, but rather they're nurses who took on analytics as a side study. And so I'm intrigued that the penetration of formal statistical training into this kind of work isn't high. For analytics at large, I started off asking, what kind of structure is in their health plan? Where does the analytics for quality improvement fit? And it turns out most of them had a medical informatics department, and most of them did quality improvement work because I was selecting on that. So the structure of these companies, they have a kind of a finance side, they have a side that worries more about numbers and utilization, and then they have a side that cares about how do we improve quality of care for members. The analytics departments varied in their degree of centralization. Part of what I wanted to learn was the status of analysts. Why do they get heard? Do they get listened to? Do they get staffed appropriately? And is that how do they structure themselves? And it turns out they're about evenly divided between centralized department doing statistical analysis and one that was centralized in doing the reviewing and sign-off on other units within the company that did analytics. Typically, one department will be a little stronger. They will have somebody there that had more training than the others. That's who the assignments go to, will you please review our work to make sure we're doing valid statistical work? And so it's about evenly split on as to which form those took. The independent analytic departments tended to be in high-performing plans, tended to be in larger, well, higher-performing organizations. So they seem to have more statistical firepower in those companies, just not in the quality improvement department. So they had differentiated. That's one of the features I learned from the survey. Number of levels of management. These were very flat, non-hierarchical structures. There were usually only two levels, but the high was 3, the low was 1. The number of FTE staff, pretty low, 12. One of them was an odd arrangement, which had 52, which was an extreme high. The rest were around the average of 12. I should give median here, but it was right close to 12. The number of FTE analysts in that count that had statistical training was typically about 2. And so out of 12, there'd be 2. And then the number of FTE analysts who do non-statistical analysis would be about 4. So these were people doing data polls, these were people compiling reports, but not people doing statistical testing. Now the work environment, part of this was, I'm an organizational behaviorist by training, so I wanted to look at this in terms of status. Do these people get listened to? And part of that would be, do they have an office? But also, I give a presentation every now and then to a local chapter of the Statistical Association as to what health plan work is like for newly minted statistics graduates. And so this is a picture of, here's kind of what kind of workplace you would be in a health plan. And a lot of it would be in cubicle, which is kind of hard to do focused work. In terms of who's managing the departments and how are the people trained in these departments for statistics, the typical person in here is a master's student, is a master's degree holder. Typically, the most senior person was also a master's degree holder, but there was a nice scattering of PhDs in some of these plans, and that was odd throughout the performance level. High-performing plans, low-performing plans, there was a scattering of PhDs throughout it. I'm not sure how to explain that other than the performance of a health plan is partly due to the health plan, but it's partly a membership issue. Some are in harder places. Others are near tertiary care facilities, and giving great care is easy. The number of analysts holding statistics degrees, they got most of their training from somewhere else. And so statistics, again, hasn't made a heavy inroad in here in terms of people with majors and minors in statistics. And that's something the field might consider as how do we learn how people are using this and how people are misusing this and how to inject training in an adequate way into other programs. In this case, it's typically an MPH program, one or two staff classes. Where do the analysts get their training? Most of it was MPH, and a lot was health administration as well. what types of skills are used. One of the oddities about this is it's not classroom statistics. And so the other skills intrigue me, except for the management. The person I was talking to is generally a manager, so of course they did that. But the ones that plain vanilla analysts would be using would be project management, comes heavily into play. Another one, teaching, training, program evaluation, database management, and then TQM, Six Sigma, quality improvement techniques, a little bit of economics, organizational design, and so forth. So these are not statistics and not typically taught in statistics. And those are useful things for students to pick up. They're more likely to hit the ground running if they have additional skills from some source. Another set, the allied skills. Oops. Let me hit forward. Okay. Other types of skills, again, defined measures of effectiveness, support for go, no-go decisions. These are the applied statistics part of it. Design an evaluation strategy, find out what are measures of effectiveness for this. Use multiple independent data to validate a finding so that we're not just trusting one data source. So those were the kind of the high items. Performed a pilot study rather than a full rollout. Root cause analysis, which gets into qualitative insights and also subject matter expertise, the statistician working with a multidisciplinary team. Types of projects. Typically, it's recurring annual projects. And in quality improvement departments and health plans, they're focused on a study called HEDIS, which is quality of care, and a study called CAPS, which is member satisfaction with quality of care and with quality of services. And so those typically fall into the highest category there. But the others, a lot of continuous long-term reporting, which is really production reporting, which is one of the oddities that I found in this, that the departments that would head in that direction often would be split off from the quality improvement department, may even be located in IT, and it's not really statistics. And some plans seem to be going down the course of, we want production reporting units, and the analytic part gets squeezed, either diminished in resources, as they try to become medical informatics units, which kind of freezes out the statistician. Of the 16 departments doing QI analyses, I also asked how often were they doing ad hoc analysis, and how long do those projects last? It would be typically about 25 days. So in the CRO environment, contract research organization, a typical project's about 6 weeks. So that's the tempo and pace of the work. Analytic techniques. I was curious, what are people running? Because often I would run into people who were assigned my same job in another health plan who had really no analytic skills or training. They had good healthcare skills, but they were assigned to do the study, and so they'd contract with the survey vendor as required by the accrediting agency. And then they would just use the canned report, but not do much to contract to get a report tailored to the needs of the organization. So they didn't have the flexibility of the tool that a different person with training might do. And so I asked, what kinds of things did they do? Descriptive, difference of proportions tests, time series, pivot tables, which aren't a statistic but a technique, statistical tests other than difference of proportions. The oddity here that struck me as odd is high or low, small or large, analytic unit, small or large health plan, high performing or low performing, they did a lot of the same sorts of things. This doesn't mean they conducted these, but they used them, they had consumed them, they had been required to look at it, review it, and so forth. So that was surprising to me, the broad set of things were being covered. For instance, predictive modeling, you wouldn't expect to see in a QI department, and yet it's there for risk adjusting in healthcare. Often people at health plans are paid increasingly in fee-for-fee programs, pay-for-performance, through risk-adjusting predictive modeling. So they're using the results of the predictive model without necessarily knowing how it got there. Question 28 on the survey was, where does the requirement for your work come from? Is it voluntary? Is it studies you're doing to tailor to your health plan's membership? Or is it regulatory requirements? And those two are pretty near tied. So a lot of it's done by force, and a lot of it's done kind of voluntarily, having to develop things to help quality. The next question had to do with the linkage to management. Again, status, are these people listened to? Their resourcing would be better the better connected they are to management. So the person that typically headed this would be a director, sometimes a manager in the smaller plants, a person to whom the director reported, often was a chief medical officer, sometimes the CEO, sometimes the vice president, the highest authority to whom the staff ever deliver work product. These units tend to hang off of a chief medical officer, so they have reasonably good status in that sense, but programs don't necessarily use their findings very well. But the staff members may be delivering things to an officer quite often, which is a good thing. They're getting good access. How often are they approached a priori to design program evaluations? And this, I believe, is haloed a little bit in that they tended to not want to say anything negative. But in general, 60%, usually or always, they got approached in advance before somebody launched a program and came to them after it was done and said, now evaluate this. Well, with the time machine, maybe. Now, how often are... everything's number 34, my error. How often are program evaluations independent, which is another key to good quality work? And 52%, 53%. How often are they acted upon appropriately? How often are the staff used appropriately? What are the top barriers to doing analytic work inside the health plans? Resources, money, time, statistical software, lack of staff training in the clientele, or teaching their clientele how to use this stuff appropriately. Are the respondents' top assets for doing their analytic work? Visionary clients, if they were in places that were curious about the data, the analysts had a better time. And often the flip side of the barriers were listed by other plans where that barrier wasn't there as an asset. So they recognized the worth of having the right software, the right staff, clients who were supportive, and so forth. So the two sorts of answers were consistent. Outsourcing the work, how often do they hire outside help to do their analytics? Only about 40% of them had outsourced any work. But among them, the outsource was pretty light. So most of these are self-contained studies, with places doing their own work. Software in use, since we're non-commercial, one East Coast firm was typically the one used at most places, and the higher-end, higher-quality health plans tended to be using one particular package. They often were using database packages that weren't the statistical package, so it's frequently the case that even though some of the SAT packages can do database management just fine, they were often married up to the health plan's data warehouse where they keep the member data, their transactional database. So a student in statistics is well put to get both kinds of training. Finally, some discussion or insights, and I won't read everything there, but the structures are pretty flat. The analytic departments differ in function. The better performing plans seem to differentiate analytics without being competitive across departments. Some departments would be doing this kind of analytics, some would do this kind, and there wasn't a turf war. They often report to senior management. The main barriers, I think I covered a moment ago, and there's my little puppy again. Resources and pitfalls. Sometimes they're ethical. Some of them mentioned educating the clients is an issue so that they don't try to do things that are improper or not too competent. Recap of the learning objectives. There's some common aspects across firms. There's small size, flat hierarchies in the QI, the quality improvement analytic. Challenges and pitfalls within the organizations. Resources were typically that. How it's resourced, it varies widely. How it links the decision maker, pretty high up. Surprised me a bit. Often they're layered a little bit. And how are they linked to management? The main barrier would be corporate culture is the main barrier to their work. And actionability would be. The main one is keeping accounting the analyst's work hours so you can tell management what they're doing for the company, why they're paying for a statistician instead of a nurse. The moral of this story is the rest of the poem. We often don't read the latter half of it. So Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard when there was no bone there. Poor little doggy had none, and I apologize to compare statisticians to the doggy in this story, but the rest of the poem intrigued me. When given proper food, water, praise, respect, and warm covering, the dog performed all sorts of tricks, and they were both happy. And I think then you can be management's best friend as a statistician if we're well-resourced and make the argument to be so. And that's it.